This morning, we're all going to be looking at what Jesus said about how we should treat those people who we find trickier to get on with. People who are sometimes called our enemies.
Please be seated. Lord, we need you. How we need you. But Lord, as we recognise our need for you, you come and you meet us. Knowing how much your grace abounds, we're able to come to you with humility and faith to confess our sins. So let's pray together the words on the screen. We say, Most merciful God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we confess that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbours as ourselves. In your mercy, forgive what we have been, help us to amend what we are, and direct what we shall be, that we may do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with you, our God. Amen.
Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon us, pardon and deliver us from all our sins, confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in life eternal, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Now, Marjorie is going to bring our reading to us.
The Gospel reading is taken from Luke chapter 6. Verses 27 to 36, and may be found on page 82 of the New Testament section of the Pew Bibles. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke. Love for enemies. But I tell you who hear me, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. And pray for those who ill treat you. If anyone hits you on one cheek, let him hit you on the other one too. If someone takes your coat, let him have your shirt as well. Give to everyone who asks you for something. And when someone takes what is yours, do not ask for it back. Do for others just what you want them to do for you. If you love only the people who love you, why should you receive a blessing? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good only to those who do good to you, why should you receive a blessing? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. No. Love your enemies and do good to them. Lend and expect nothing back. You will then have a great reward, and you will be sons of the Most High God, for he is good to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
May we pray. Father, we confess as we hear that reading that this is a very challenging reading. But Father, we pray that you would open our hearts today to respond to you and to be changed by your love so that we can be obedient to your word and your call on our lives. So would you help us as we think and as we share together. In Jesus' name. Amen. I think this is one of the most challenging things that Jesus talks about out on this sermon that he is sharing with his disciples. Love your enemies is the heading in this section of the Bible. I wonder how many enemies you have. Okay, let me put it slightly differently. I wonder how many people you find it really difficult to get on with. I wonder how many people have upset you and you hold a grudge in your heart about them. I wonder how many people you have conversations in your head about, well, if that happened and that happened, then they'd really get it in the neck. Do you know what I mean? When you have those sort of internal conversations that really are at the cost, the downfall of the person that you want to see get justice or to see being hurt because of what they have done to you. People who have hurt us, offended us, and we carry that grudge, that unforgiveness in our hearts. And Jesus in this passage sets for us a very challenging lifestyle. The standard that he sets for us is far greater than the standard that was set in the Old Testament. And that was a very high standard. But Jesus here takes it and elevates it, not just to talking about our actions and what we do, but it's about our attitudes, our thoughts. It's about the way we respond. It's about the motivations that we have and what drives us, what occupies our minds. Who are the enemies that you have? Because Jesus, in this section of his sermon, says, love your enemies. I can almost hear some of your responses. But you don't know what they're like. You don't know what they've done to me. You don't know how they have hurt me. I need justice. I need to see revenge on them. I want to get my own back. Or somebody should get them because of what they have done. And it's interesting. Jesus doesn't qualify his command by saying that the enemies should stop fighting you first. He doesn't say that they should come and apologize. He doesn't say that they should come and repent at your knees and beg for your forgiveness. Jesus' instructions are to love your enemies, to pray for those who persecute you, to bless those who hate you. That is amazingly strong language. Jesus starts off by saying, for those of you who are listening. And I think the key today is, are we prepared to listen to what Jesus has to say? Are we prepared to open our hearts, our minds, and say, Jesus, speak to me? I guess in some way or other, some of us will have, if not most of us, will have a person or persons that immediately come to mind and we think, yeah. And the challenge today is, are you prepared and willing to allow Jesus to speak to you through his word and to begin to change your attitude. Because the section where it says, for those who are listening, the word hear for the Jew meant not only to hear but to act upon. It was an active listening that changed the way people behaved. I'm not saying today's passage is not tough. And is Jesus saying that we're to give in to bullies? Is he taking our right away to self-defense? I don't think so. I think Jesus never advocates violence. And in the gospel, what you always see is him reaching out for the little person, the helpless person, the abused, the neglected. What is Jesus talking about here then? I think that Jesus is saying something like this. We are to have extreme love, to love the unlovable. What? That's just the opposite of how I feel and what I want to do. Why on earth would I want to love an enemy? Why would I want to do good to those who hate me? Why would I want to bless those who curse me or to pray for those who mistreat me? But you see, I think that God knows the result of what happens when we hold those grudges, when we allow those things to well up in our hearts and become a bitter root. We so often hear on Alpha Course when they're talking about forgiveness that holding those grudges is like drinking poison and hoping the other person will die. And Jesus says, doesn't he, do not be deceived. Perhaps it's Paul that says that. I'm not sure. I need to go back and look. But maybe it's Paul that says, do not be deceived. What you plant is what you will reap. And if you're holding that bitterness and that grudge, that unforgiveness, that vengeance against your enemy, what it will reap is a harvest of destruction. It destroys you, and it will destroy the people around you, as well as the innocent people around you. Martin Luther King said, hate in a descending spiral of voice of violence and is just as injurious to the person who hates. Hate is a descending spiral of violence and is just as injurious to the person who hates as it is to the victim. But love is the only force capable of transforming an enemy into a friend, for it has a creative and redemptive power. I don't know how many of you watched the wedding of Meghan and Harry and saw that amazing preacher on that occasion. And he actually quoted from Martin Luther King. And one of the things that he ended up saying was this: love has the power to change the world. And when we allow God's love to be poured into our hearts by his Holy Spirit, what happens first and foremost is it transforms us. See, God is the source of love. And when we allow him to fill us with his love, we find that we have the capability to love even our enemies. It was Abraham Lincoln who said, "Do I not destroy my enemy when I make them my friend?" You know, we've only to look, haven't we, not far away from here at the history of Ireland and see all that went on there in those years of conflict, that killing, then there'd be a revenge killing, and then be a revenge killing, and then there'd be a revenge killing, and so it goes on and on and on, with more and more people being damaged and hurt by the violence that takes place. And God knows that, and he says, the solution is to love your enemy, to pray for those who persecute you, to bless those who curse you, and to do good to those who hate you. God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, while we were still enemies of God, he demonstrated what love was in giving himself on the cross. I'd like us to watch a video.
That's it. The rain man's gone. I never see him graduate, never see him married, you know, him have children. It seems unnatural for a parent to have to bury their child.
On February 12, 1993, Mary Johnson's only son, Loramian, was killed by four gunshots in a gang-related altercation. With the help of eyewitnesses, detectives found their prime suspect 2 days later.
I think hatred began to set in just right then.
During a police investigation, 16-year-old O'Shea Israel confessed to killing Loramian. After 2 years of hearings and appeals, he was tried as an adult and convicted of second-degree murder. Mary addressed him during her impact statement in court.
I said, you know what? If my son had taken your life, I would expect him to have to pay the cost. And then I ended up telling him that I forgave him. The word says, in order to be forgiven, you must forgive. So I said, well, okay, I had to tell him. But I wanted him locked up, caged, because he was an animal, and that's what he deserved.
O'Shea was sentenced to 25 years in prison.
The grieving process for me, I think it began after the trial, wave after wave after wave after wave, the tsunami. Just stuff, you know, hatred. Here I am, a Christian woman. I hate it. This 16-year-old boy. And I never ever thought I would be put back together.
After the trial, Mary went through the motions of life. She visited friends and stayed active in her church. But it would be 10 long years before her emotional turmoil would end. In 2004, her pastor asked her to teach a class on forgiveness. As she studied the class book, Mary says she took a hard look at her heart.
I'm hearing, Mary, you need to repent. You need to repent for all these things that you've said about this young man, all these feelings that you've had for him. And I'm like, I have right to have those feelings for him. Then I heard Mary, pray for him like you pray for yourself. And I'm like, I'm praying for him. Okay, so I pray for him like I pray for myself. And then I heard, every time his name comes up, every time you hear it within yourself, say, I choose to forgive. So I repented. And I really believe it was a true repentance. It was for real. It was for real.
As Mary started to change, so did the person she was praying for.
I started coming into myself, started maturing, and with maturity, I decided I wanted to hold myself accountable and be responsible for my actions.
In 2005, Mary took another courageous step toward healing. She contacted the Department of Corrections and requested a face-to-face meeting with O'Shea.
I have to make sure I have truly forgiven him. I don't have all the hatred.
I can honestly say that from the moment I walked into the room, the energy level was, like, peaceful.
We had a conversation, and you know, he admitted what he had done. He told me that, you know, if he could have communicated that night, things would have been different.
And she asked a lot of questions about myself and my life, and It showed that she was interested in getting to know the person.
And I told him, I said, look, I told you in court that I forgave you. But today, from the bottom of my heart, I want you to know that I forgive you. And he was like, ma'am, how can you do that? And I said, because of who's within me.
It was a very powerful and moving meeting, but I felt like extremely compelled to just ask her, may I give you a hug, to show her my genuineness.
I do remember falling, and he was holding me. He had to hold me up until I felt this thing leave me. And I instantly knew that all that hatred, all the bitterness, the animosity, all that junk I had inside me for 12 years, I knew it was over with. It was done. It was instantly, it was gone.
Mary and O'Shea continued to meet, and they eventually began speaking in prisons about forgiveness and reconciliation.
The more and more we spoke, the more and more our bond started to grow, and Mary has turned into one of my biggest supporters. She worries about me when I'm not worried about myself, and that's something that a mother does.
O'Shea was released from prison in 2010, and Mary arranged his homecoming party.
I walked in and I saw all these people that I didn't know who only know of me because of the pain and the hurt I've caused. But I walk in and get hugs. I walk in and get smiles. That's another part of the forgiveness, like the community forgave me. Her friends were able to forgive me.
Today, O'Shea and Mary are next door neighbors. They speak all over the country about the power of forgiveness.
I am so grateful for who I am today in God, and that I'm not that person that I used to be, full of all that junk.
Being on the other side of forgiveness is important in my life because it made me free enough to be myself. I can really live and enjoy life. I can enjoy people. I can enjoy being home. I can enjoy laughing. Outside of that, I got a huge family now.
You know, unforgiveness is a dangerous thing. And I tell you, when you allow the Holy Spirit to release you, oh my God, what freedom. What freedom there is. You'll be amazed at where you'll be at in your life.
I love the part where she says that it's not what I do, but it's who's in me. And when we allow God to pour his love into our hearts, then we can be changed. And it can change, as you can see, the life of others. So what are we to do? Well, we're asked to pray for our enemies. We're not to be those who seek revenge, but to pray for them, not for their downfall or for their judgment, but we're to be those who pray that they might be blessed, to bless them, to ask God to watch over them and protect them, and to seek the very best for them. We have to give up our rights for revenge. And it's a choice that we make. It's a choice that we make to hold on to the grudge, or whether or not we allow God to be the judge. In Romans, it says this: do not repay evil for evil. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. Isn't that what Mary did? She organized the welcome home party for the person that killed her son. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. It says, in doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. That's not an act of vengeance. That's not an act of wanting somebody to burn under the weight of these burning coals that's resting on their head. That's actually a picture of forgiveness and cleansing, of repentance. And that we're called to be those who pray for our enemies to be blessed so that they might come to that repentance place in front of Jesus Christ. Why? Why are we to do this? In that passage, what we see it says is that we are to be merciful, just as God is merciful to you. And that's why we're called to love our enemies. Because while we were still enemies of Christ, he died for you. And he's asking you, in some ways, to do the same. To lay down your right to revenge, your right to see justice, in order that you might experience the love of God being poured into your hearts, and you might know that bitterness is gone, and you're free to live in the freedom that Christ wants to give you. So I guess there are people here today who will need to do business with God. I guess there are people here who are carrying a grudge, who have an enemy that you're longing to see get revenge. But the business you need to do with God today, if you will allow him to, is to deal with that hurt and that anger and to bring you his healing and his love. And as you do that, the promise is that if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. So I'm going to pray and ask God by his Spirit to just touch our hearts and lives. Maybe to bring the person to mind that you need to forgive. The enemy that you want to have revenge against, to release you from that. So, Father, by your Holy Spirit, would you now come? And first of all, we want to pray, Holy Spirit, you pour your love into our hearts. Fill us from the source of all love and goodness. And Lord, would you now bring to mind those that we need to forgive, and to those who we see as enemies. Lord, would you help us to begin to love them and take those steps that are necessary to show goodness, to pray for blessing. Come, Holy Spirit. I know on occasions like this, it's not always easy to come to the front and to receive prayer. But if God has placed his finger on somebody, then what I'm going to suggest is that as we come to communion, as you come to receive bread and wine, you just, Emma will be giving the bread here, and you just make eye contact with Emma and indicate that you'd love her to pray for you. Prayer ministry team, if you come out first for communion and receive, and then be available on the front row and also in the choir pews, I'll be at the communion rail, and if you want somebody to pray with you, do take the opportunity to allow God's Spirit to work in your life. And we'll create a space at the end of the service where we can continue to pray. But now let's continue with our intercessions.
Loving Lord Jesus, in so many ways you show us how to live our lives. And yet again, you do this for us. Not only do you tell us through your teaching, but you show us with your actions. Lord, help us always, always to take you as our role model, the only one who truly can show us the way to be. Lord, we pray that around the world, we would discover the way to love our enemies, not just to forgive them, but to love them. Because that's what you showed us. You didn't just model forgiveness, you modeled love. We pray for conflict zones everywhere. That war would cease, your peace would reign, and that former enemies would discover that love is the way to go. Lord, we pray for governments who are at odds with one another. Perhaps they're not at war, but their policies just don't lead to peace. We pray that those governments would take time to think about each other and that they would again be able to love their counterparts, not to wish evil or destruction on them, not to wish for things to turn out in the way which would suit them, but genuinely to work for the good of the other person. Lord, we pray for the same attitude to work within companies, big, small, international and local. We pray that competitors wouldn't pray and actively hope for the bad things to happen to each other. But also that within companies, bosses and employees would love each other. That people would act in the interest of the company, the shareholders, instead of in their own interest. And that they would genuinely, genuinely look out for each other. Lord, we particularly pray within families. We know that families should be a source of love and strength, but so often aren't. So we ask that forgiveness and love for the difficult person would be ever present, but in your strength and to your glory. Lord Jesus, we pray for our family here at St. Augustine's. Help us to know who we should pray for. Who are the difficult people in our church family? Help us to forgive, but help us to go one step further and to pray and to love those difficult people. If we model it in our own church family, in our own individual families, in our lives, then what a difference we can make, Jesus. When we care for one another as you have shown us and taught us how to do, when we work together in the power of God to bring your kingdom here, then we will make disciples as we have been called to do. In your most holy and loving name, Lord, we lift these prayers to you. Amen.
Father of all, we give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace, and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you have set before us, so we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. I want to reiterate what we said earlier, that this is a place to encounter God and to do business with him today. And to deal with some of those people in our lives that we think of as enemies are difficult. And to come and receive prayer to be filled with God's Holy Spirit. Romans 5:5 says that God's love is poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And it's as we receive that love, so we're empowered to love back. So as we come to sing our last hymn, first of all, let us pray together. And then if you'd like to receive prayer, the prayer ministry team are here and they would love to pray with you and for you. If you're able, would you stand? So, Heavenly Father, we pray now you would send your Holy Spirit. Send your Holy Spirit into our hearts. Would you come and pour your love into our hearts through your Holy Spirit, Lord, that we might be able to do what we think is impossible, but begin to love those who we consider to be difficult. Our enemies. And Lord, as we do that, would you set us free by your Holy Spirit? Come, Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you that our hope is placed in you, and you are the one who can move the mountains. So would you do that in our lives today? Help us to take that step of faith and trust in you, in Jesus' name. And so may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit come down upon you now, remain with you this day and always. Amen. So go in peace to love and serve the Lord in the name of Christ. Amen. Just two things to say right at the close of the service, and that is that we are renewing our electoral roll here, and if you haven't filled in a piece of paper, an application form, and would like to be on the electoral roll, we would love you to be. Please do speak to one of the welcomers or me, and we would love to tell you more about that. But also there's a box at the back, and if some of you would like to donate through the church for the Disasters Emergency Committee, then there is a box at the back. You can either put a slip of paper in if you haven't got money as an IOU, or any other cash that you have. But may God bless you, and may you know his peace in this coming week.